This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, and we are excited. Fort Benning, Seal, Alabama. All my friends down near you following the Georgia-Florida line. Today is Sunday, April the 29th. And I tell you, I'm not going to prolong today the introduction because I am very excited about our guest that we have in the studio today. Today we have a history maker. Today we have someone that's pushing the limits with credentials, with experience, with just life experience that is beyond amazing. It is truly an honor and a pleasure to have in the studio with me today, Major General Gary Brittle, the first African-American commanding general of the U.S. Army Maneuver Center of Excellence in Fort Benning, Georgia.
Hey, good morning, Teddy, and thank you so much for the invitation. One, thank you for the kind words, and it's indeed my honor to be here today representing the Maneuver Center of Excellence and back in Columbus as well. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, let me welcome you back. You know, I'm not the mayor. I can't give you a key to the city, and I don't have any special title. I'm just a regular citizen that pays taxes. Okay. But I tell you, everyone all over this city, we are just extremely proud and honored to be the city that hosts so many wonderful people that serve our country in uniform right there in Fort Benning. What you do, the sacrifices for your to your family and your personal life, what you do to protect all of us all around the world is just so phenomenal, and it's truly an honor to have you here. So how does it feel to be back in Columbus?
Well, one, it's exciting. I've started my career here over 31 years ago. First came to Fort Benning in March 1987.
We've done some upgrades to the bridge.
And the post as well. But the relationship between the military and the community hasn't changed. I think it's been an important one that we've had, as you well know, for well over 100 years. And I'm looking forward to being part of it now.
Absolutely. And it's more critical now than ever. You know, we just got hit with some news this week, and it's unfortunate for us here in the city. But, you know, we're resilient here at Columbus, and we're surviving. That's one of our major companies leaving, taking 1,000 jobs with it. Is there any planned growth at Fort Benning that you could talk about where civilians can look at the potential of job opportunities?
Well, I don't know of any planned growth, but as you well know, there's an unbreakable relationship between Fort Benning and the city of Columbus. So if there's any opportunities out there, I'm sure they'll be communicated between the two.
Well, that makes me feel good. We're excited about that because, you know, Fort Benning is a separate entity, but we look at that as a part of Columbus and a part of the valley. And, you know, when we benefit, Fort Benning benefits. When Fort Benning benefits, Columbus benefits in the area. And so that's why this relationship is so important. And we're excited to have you out in the community, getting to know the people, getting to know the folks that's surrounding the area. What's your message that you're carrying with you on your visits to?
We're all one team. We have many soldiers and families that live in the community, many Columbus citizens and residents that work on Fort Benning. It's an unbreakable bond. And it needs to be that way. A commander I had many, many years ago said you can never and you should never separate the military from the people that it services, and that's the citizens of Columbus.
Well, Major General Brito, I'm glad to be on your team. I'll even let you be the captain. Now, usually I like to be the person in charge. Okay. But I'll yield to you, sir. You know what I mean? Any day, you can have it. Pick the team and everything. Just don't pick me last.
Depends on the sport we're playing. I'm older now, so.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, you know, you still look in a lot better shape than I do, so it would be a pretty good game. So you guys got some exciting things coming up over at Fort Benning that I think we want to talk about today. One being the Sullivan Cup tank competition.
Sure.
Tell me about that.
Sure. Well, now that it's the Maneuver Center of Excellence representing both the infantry and the armor, which is a big part of the fighting force of the United States Army, we host many competitions. We just finished a few, and I'll get to the Sullivan Cup in a minute. But we had our Best Ranger competition, which is an annual event, Best Mortar competition, testing fires, combatives as well, all making our Army better, all contributing to readiness. With the Sullivan Cup, it is a recognized one of the very best armor crew, tank crew, that our Army has to offer. Many competitors come in here to include some of our allied reps. We're going to kick off next week, do some very tough competitive training, and we'll identify the best one at the end of the competition. All of that contributes to Army readiness, which is our mission. All of it contributes to the maneuver force, which is the specific mission of the Maneuver Center of Excellence.
So
Are citizens invited to this event?
Sure. There's going to be some open events. You know, of course, I have to get passes to come on post and work that with the community. But it's been well advertised. We have a lot of Army leadership here as well, to include some of our international officers. As an example, we have a general from Germany coming in to watch one of his crews. So citizens are allowed to come on post and see some of the events. I can't talk to some of the particular ones right now.
Right.
But all that can be coordinated through our Visitors Bureau or in the front gate when you come on.
Wow. Because I excuse my ignorance on what happens during this particular event, but I would love to come out, especially when we see tanks moving around. And
there's going to be a lot of loud tanks and a lot of loud booming going on day and night. And kind of tied to the topic, later on in June, on the 23rd, I believe it is, we're having a large early 4th of July event. And the gates are open to the community as well. There'll be some security procedures to get on post.
Right.
But that is an event open to all of Columbus and the surrounding cities and all the soldiers. I'm expecting several thousand. And if the rain doesn't come, we're going to be okay.
I'll get with the David Broadcasting family. We got to get out there for that. You know, I have a 20-month-old. Whenever she hear anything loud, she go, ooh.
It's going to be a great event, both food, music, and fireworks.
Well, that sounds like a great time and just another opportunity for the residents of Columbus to get engaged with our men and women in uniform over there at Fort Benning and see a lot of what you do. Because when we're driving down the highway headed toward Albany, Georgia, we pass some of the tanks on the road. You see them over there at the location, but they're always parked. You know, I never see anything moving, and one day I come through and it's gone. So I want to see them in action. That'll be very, very cool. And so you also have a huge Independence Day celebration coming up.
Yeah, that's the one I mentioned on the 23rd of June.
We're
doing it a little early.
Okay.
Part of that is really to allow the 4th of July weekend for our soldiers and civilians to have some time off.
Mm-hmm.
But that is open to the community as well. We'll have controlled access to the posts, but they can get visitors' passes and work things early. That has been communicated through our public affairs office and others as well, with some of the civilian leadership within the community. But as I mentioned, food, fireworks, and music. Florida is one of our entertainers right now, coming on post along with addition to others. It's going to be a great event right there on the big field in front of McGinnis Wickham Hall.
Are you going to the concert?
I'm
going to
be there.
You got front row?
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk around.
Should we expect any dancing from the Major General?
No, you shouldn't. If you do, it won't look good. Put it that way.
Well, I love it how you're straight and quick to the point. That is just awesome. Which one of these events do you like the most? And I'm sure politically, you probably got to say, well, I like all of them. But I'm sure there's something that
I will be very honest with you. Well, I do like all of them. And I'm very sincere about that. One, our mission is training. Our mission is building combat readiness. Mm-hmm. So events like the Sullivan Cup and things that we do to make soldiers better at their jobs, or whatever their jobs may be, is our primary mission. In addition to the community events like the 23 June 4th of July event, all the others that help enhance our soldier and family readiness, soldier and family quality of life, is as important to me as well.
And I like the fact that you're doing some out of the box type things there that people probably wouldn't generally expect at a military base. But we got to keep in mind, a lot of our men and women that are enrolling in the military, they're very young. You know, some of them are as young as 18 or 19 years of age. And so I can imagine the challenge of keeping them entertained and working with them. You know, as you have progressed through your career, what has been some of your techniques? And I'm going to tell you why I ask you this. I'm not asking you for military secrets.
Sure.
I'm asking you about, you know, just serving as a mentor, as an African-American male. We see a lot of challenges on our streets here locally of our young men and women that we're trying to reach, that we're having trouble in school. They're being kicked out of school, crime and violence in the streets. What are some of the techniques you have employed to reach that young age group on basis?
Well, sometimes it's talking to people and going to places where you can talk to people and opening yourself up for access, like YMCA, high school events, other events like that, church, quite frankly, and being a mentor, whether direct or indirect. And I would offer up that mentorship can sometimes come through just by being a role model, you know, for someone to look at, whether you shake their hand or not. And on that note, do take time to stop and talk to a person and shake their hand. Of course, most that I interact with are soldiers. And I'll tell you right now, I'll stop in a minute and talk to a private, wherever it may be, the staff can tell you there, just to stop to, and talk to him or her and see how they're doing. Mm-hmm. And offer some words of wisdom or some inspiration if you can, if I may. And in my opinion, especially with the military, which is what I do, that's a way to get at promoting advancement, just creating an opportunity for somebody. And when you create those opportunities, I know I'm babbling a lot here, but when you create those opportunities, it gives a person, whether male, female, black, white, or any gender, to progress up the chain and make some decisions. I would also recommend education for many. Finish high school. And if you decide to go to college or a trade school after that, all better. But it gives you what you need as a foundation for upward mobility and make some decisions in this world. And then, wow. And don't be afraid to reach out and talk to somebody if you have a question, because somebody's probably done it. Someone's probably already worn that T-shirt before, and the assistance out there.
Wow. You call it babbling. I call it wisdom. Okay. I just heard some amazing nuggets just come out there that hopefully some of our listeners throughout the region, they're listening. And hopefully someone grabbed their young son or young daughter and brought them in to hear your interview on this show so that they could hear those tips from you, because you are one that we can honestly say has accomplished quite a bit. And to be admired, to be honored, to be gleaned upon. And we appreciate that. Major General, if you don't mind, we're going to take a quick break here and come right back, hear from some of our sponsors, and we're going to continue this conversation and learn a little bit about your first month here for a bit.
Hey, okay? Thank you. My honor.
All right.
Thank you.
This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We'll be right back with Major General Gary Brito over at the U.S. Army Maneuver Center of Excellence right here in Fort Benning, the commanding general. Thank you for joining us. We'll be right back.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. But a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And, well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be, and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me.
Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I tell you, we're having an exciting conversation with the commanding general over at Fort Benning, Major General Brito. Again, sir, it's truly an honor to have you with us here today. And I see you have quite a big team that travel with you. You know, it almost made me feel like I want to bring my entourage. You know, I have some paralegals at home, boys, that could have came with me. No, seriously, though. Tell us about the people you have with us today.
Well, got the entire transitioning aide de camp, the outgoing aide, the incoming aide, and the driver with me, and of course our great public affairs team. Not that I need to travel with a big crew, but the transition is important as well, and all that stuff is ongoing here within this first month of command.
Right. Public affairs is certainly important, and I want to take this opportunity on behalf of David Broadcasting while we're on the air to let you and every man and woman in uniform know that we are extremely appreciative of your service to our country and what you do to protect and make all of us safe so that we can go throughout our day not worried about any enemies or any attack, foreign or abroad, or domestic. And so we know you do a lot, and we know you have a lot going on. And just being able to take these short minutes out to talk with us today, we know that took a lot too, and it doesn't weigh lightly on us. We're extremely appreciative.
Well, Teddy, if I may, I will tell you the pleasure is ours and the pleasure is mine. And it is an honor to one to serve. I'm sure I can speak for the troops that are with me today and all the troops that are in Fort Benning and other places, regardless of their rank. It is indeed an honor to serve. The military does offer a lot of opportunities to folks. And you know, since I've been in for a couple of years, quite frankly, what we do for the moms and dads across America really does mean a lot. So I appreciate your words. Thank you.
Absolutely. And you do a lot. And when you said moms and dads, it reminded me. I was on Fort Benning about 6 months ago, participating in a program where we gave out diapers and new baby toys and items for expecting moms who husbands are deployed. And it was truly a pleasure just to be able to do that a little bit. And I know in the grand scheme of things, that's very small, but any help and any assistance we can provide to a mother whose husband is somewhere on foreign soil fighting for our safety and our protection is extremely something I don't mind doing. I will cancel meetings to do that because that's important.
Well, I'll extend a thank you for all those that you did help.
No, sir, you don't have to thank me. It's very, very minor to thank you. But let's learn a little bit about you, Major General Bredo. Tell us a little about where did you grow up?
Sure. Well, I'm a regular guy, married with two kids right now.
Okay.
I got married right after I finished all my basic stuff here at Fort Benning. So, I have our 31st anniversary this coming year.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Both my sons are grown. I'm from the state of Massachusetts. I spent most of my time there. We moved a little bit because my stepdad was in the Navy, and I moved back there and graduated high school. A very, very, very humble, basic family. I won't use the term blue collar, but that's what we all were.
Right.
Some regular folks. We're with so good family structure and love for the most part. I applied to the first school. I went to the first school I applied to and accepted me, Penn State University. And a little known story, probably maybe a little more than you have on the radio here, but
no,
I borrowed $20 from a cousin of mine to play for the college application, cash, and mailed it away. And I got accepted to Penn State University. I said, I'm going. Whatever it takes. So
hold
that's
on,
why I went.
So you borrowed $20.
I borrowed $20 from a
to
cousin.
To pay for your college application.
Pay for the college application.
Did you pay the $20 back?
You get it back and then some.
And I know I joked about that, but that's not to miss the gravity. And when you say that, it reminds me of how Mary McLeod Bethune started Bethune Cookman. Let me get it out this today with $1.50 in a boxcar. And here you are with $20.
At the time, as you know, they didn't have the internet, so you actually filled out the application and mailed it. So I mailed it in, got accepted, and I said, that's where I'm going. So that's where I went.
Did you say a prayer over the letter before you put it in the mail?
Well, more than you know.
What?
And at that time, my mom had gotten divorced, so it was just us, me, her, my brother had a younger sister at the time. And I got accepted and just said, that's where I want to go. So that's where I went.
So not getting too much into your personal life, but would you consider yourself to be raised by a single parent?
No, not necessarily. Most of the years were, but I had a stepdad in and out. So I would not say that. We had a very close, small town, small family. And so I'm sure you can relate with some folks, the lady next door, whether it's blood or not, will take care of you.
Absolutely.
So that's the way it was. And
so you were in rural Massachusetts. We're not talking about Boston.
No,
or
not
Cape
Boston.
Cod. Okay.
Well, actually, Hyannis is in Cape Cod, but there's some regular folks there, as well.
Okay.
On the normal side of the tracks, I like to call it.
So. Okay.
But it is very rural. Rural enough that, you know, I'm not walking 5 miles to go to school or anything.
Right.
A small town, not a big city. But went off to Penn State University and joined ROTC as an extracurricular activity.
Was that your first time leaving home, going to Penn State?
No, because of that, my stepdad was in the Navy. We had moved around a little bit. And I was a very independent guy, so I would get up and go. But I actually caught Amtrak from Boston to Pennsylvania to do just to see the school. And decided that's what I was gonna do. And joined ROTC as their extracurricular activity. I planned on to fast forward a little bit. I'll do this for 4 years and get out. 30 years later, still here.
Wow. So when you made your first trip to the college as a brand new student, new environment, did you make that journey alone, or was your mom able to go?
The first time I did go alone, that was just to see the campus. Mm-hmm. The second time, you know, they asked for parents to come, so we actually drove down with a friend of the family. My mother came with me. And then I stayed and just started going. Started at a branch campus and moved to the main campus from there. I actually met my wife my junior year, her senior year, also in college, and was still married. My wife, Michelle, and I met her there, and 31 years later, here we are.
And what did you major in at Penn State?
Community studies was my I struggled a little bit with academics. I won't lie to you. Mm-hmm. I was not on an ROTC scholarship. Was able to make it through anyway. And I met Michelle, my junior, her senior, as I mentioned. Our first tour was in a Berlin brigade in Germany.
When you mentioned her name, you smiled a little bit.
I
see
smile.
The joy. I see the joy on your face. And I'm sure if Ms. Brito, if she's listening, she's been a strong support base for you throughout your transition throughout the military system.
Oh, certainly. And I'm sure any soldier would say the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. Okay. So what happened after Penn State?
Well, went in the Army. I started off in Germany, 3 years there. And as I mentioned, I was going to do 4 years, which is my initial commitment, just like everybody, and maybe get out and transition. But I liked it. It worked for me. Just kept on going. After 10 years, it definitely went a lot faster. It's been a very enjoyable tour of service, should I say. I have no intention of getting out anytime soon, but it's been good. And just the opportunity to give back to the Army at a certain point. I'm at that phase now. An opportunity to see leaders grow, an opportunity to grow as a leader myself. It's been very, very beneficial. So I'm not going to say it's for everybody, but it has worked for me. And it's just the path that, you know, God put you on and me on, and that's what I'm going with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I hate being asked this question, but I'm going to ask it to you.
Sure.
If you could do anything differently in that track, is there anything that you would do differently?
Probably not. Probably would have been done a little better in college back in the day, but it worked out. So in hindsight, I would probably say no. And of course, you know, within the time, just like anybody that served during that time, you had to deployments and things like that. But I would say no. And the ability to provide some structure, and I'll give my wife 100% credit on this with the two boys, which can be very challenging for soldiers. You know, she kept the stability for them when I wasn't home, whether it's deployment or training assignment. So I'll give a shout out to all the military spouses. I don't care what service you're in, you all deserve an award for keeping us going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I was honored to work with the American Bar Association on an effort to assist military mothers that are attorneys, so that as they transition, military wives, I should say, so that as they transition with their husbands to the different locations, they could easily transition into that state's bar without the rigmarole and unnecessary paperwork. I mean, they're sacrificing just as much as anyone else in that process. So it was truly an honor to work on that. And I think in some efforts, we're still trying to get a lot of that pushed through with a lot of different areas so that they can transition to employment here quite easily.
Well, Teddy, I appreciate that effort. And you are right. There's a lot of agencies, and I can't name them all, that's doing a lot to transfer job skills, in-home employment. And most importantly now, schools, their records transfer, teacher credentials transfer, in-state tuitions, even when you may be serving out of that state. So there's a lot of efforts to help the military family, not just the Army and all the Department of Defense. And it's so, so important to give some level of stability for these families that just have to move a lot. And I've been through it myself. I thought it was 10 moves. My wife corrected me. It was 15 moves here. 16, I think. But the transfer of school records, teacher credentials, employment credentials, all that stuff is very important. And there's a lot of energy and a lot of organizations to assist the military with that now.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, you just opened my eyes to so much with that. Being a lawyer, I focused on the legal field of it, but there are tons of professional fields, as you just stated, that transition, easier transition would be so amazing. I hope some of our elected officials are listening so that we can work on this collectively to make that happen, because if the wife can have a great transition, the family can transition well, and the soldier can focus on his purpose, his or her purpose at work. where they're going, and that's true. What we need. So true. Thank you so much for that. In our last few minutes, let's talk about your first month here.
Sure.
What has it been like so far?
Well, fast. Last week, I went over 30 days of command, so it's been quick. So it's a big command with a big portfolio on the Maneuver Center and Fort Benning. And we'll put a lot of emphasis on the and Fort Benning piece, because not only do we have all that contributes to within the Maneuver Center to the Army, but we have a lot of several tenant organizations as well that have higher headquarters elsewhere. But in our opinion, have a great team to support the senior commander role. So taking care of all of that, contributing to readiness for the Army, which is number one priority, is important. I've had a couple opportunities, whether at our National Infantry Museum or other places, to interact with the community and talk to some of the community folks, I'll say, citizens. Mm-hmm. I don't know what all the positions are, and planning to continue that also. So it's been quick, but fortunately I had a great predecessor and a great team just to really fall in on, and a great team that I'm working with now. So we're going to continue to push all of those efforts that are key.
Well, that's amazing. You know, right down the street here, there's a historical placard that identifies that at one point Fort Benning came up this far in Columbus, to the Macon Road area.
Yeah.
And now most people think of Fort Benning as starting down by the Victory Drive exit, off of 185. That's been a lot of growth and change.
Yes, really.
Should we expect a lot of more growth and change?
I would definitely continue growth, whether it's infrastructure or not. And some of that may just be in relationship between the post and the community. Some of the things we're going to work on, like possibly robotics and a few other things, working with the community as well to make the Army better and continue to work that relationship with the community. As I mentioned, many soldiers and families live off post.
Right.
And many of the listeners, I'm sure, have been here a lot longer than I have. But just the thought in the community and city development that I personally have seen from 1987 to now is just amazing, and that just shows a lot of vision, a lot of hope, and a lot of thought. So I'm very, very happy and honored to be here.
Wow. Well, we are again honored to have you here and your entire team, and honored to have Fort Benning right here in our neighborhood, and we're glad to be involved and to be engaged. And when I'm downtown and I see those soldiers in uniform just taking some time off, I breathe an extra sigh of relief. It's just truly a pleasure and an honor to have them there in our presence, knowing what they're contributing and knowing that they're amongst the population just makes us feel a lot more secure and a lot better. So it's truly an honor. So any closing words you want to leave us with before we wrap up the interview?
Well, Teddy, I would say just thank you, simply. What the Fort Benning does for the entire Army, and I say the entire Army, because you can, of course, talk to one of those new troops that's hanging around an IHOP on his weekend off, and they represent all of America. So thank you for the continued support that the military gets. As you well know, this is our 100th anniversary, the installation, and I see another bright future for the next 100 years. I won't be here in 100 years. I don't think any of us will. But it's a clear relationship and lineage that will probably never break. And I will turn it back to you and say thank you for what you do for us.
And I know that I said that was the last thing, but there's one more thing. One more thing. And I can't believe that. But I say the best for last.
All right.
And that's our amazing, amazing veterans population.
Yes.
That we have here in Columbus. Mm-hmm. We have quite a few people that have served our country that choose to make Columbus their home afterwards. Mm-hmm. And we love them. And we appreciate them. Do you have a specific message for our veterans out there?
To all the veterans, regardless of the service that you may have served in, whether National Guard, Reserve, or active duty, all one component, thank you for your service. We all will hang up the uniform at one time, but we're all soldiers for life. And I mean that sincerely, whether you served in combat many years ago or didn't serve in combat at all. Thank you for what you've done for the Department of Defense and the Army, and all this, and you have my commitment that all the support that Fort Benning can continue to give to you, we will.
Yes, sir. Well, this has been Sunday Conversation with Commanding General Brito, the Major General Gary Brito, the first African-American Commanding General of Fort Benning here in Columbus, Georgia, in Chattahoochee County, United States Armor Maneuver Center of Excellence. I hope you heard a lot from this conversation. There's a lot of great things going on in Fort Benning. I encourage you to keep up with the bulletins, keep up with the information. Let's stay involved. Let's let them know that we appreciate their sacrifices, that we appreciate what they're doing for us as a country, as a city, as the state of Georgia, and how their presence is 100% welcome right here in West Central Georgia. Again, this is Teddy Reese with Sunday Conversation. I look forward to talking with you again next Sunday.
The views and expressions of Sunday Conversations are not the views of Davis Broadcasting Incorporated, advertisers, nor their staff. Questions or concerns, or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation, come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.